You're listening to the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you will find the resources and training that you need to get started.
You're from Canada.
As well as a community church planning multi-site experts to help you thrive. So check out Plus Membership. We have coaching, templates, exclusive content. Well, today's question is from Paula Millar. So let's listen in.
Hi, my name is Paula Millar. I've actually now have 48 churches in Africa. God has, for the most part, just led them to me. So, I really don't know what to do from here. And I was just wondering if you could have some advice for someone like me in this situation. Thank you.
All right.
Well, it's tough to know. It's tough to know some of the details here. But if we're talking about, 48 churches sound like independent autonomous churches. Maybe we're talking about relationships that are there, that are connected. So let's talk about what you would do with 48 churches to kind of advance the mission that's here. So what I would say is in those 48 churches, I think one of the key things anytime we have patterns of churches, groups of churches, is to raise up biblical leaders who then multiply other leaders. So I would say raising up leaders who meet 1 Timothy 3 requirements, pastors and deacons who are kind of biblical offices, that then those people would function in those roles. So having a group of churches, we want to make sure that in having those relationships that we have leaders in place in those churches. And then those leaders are ultimately multiplying. Mm-hmm. The multiplication is going to create the need for networking. So networking is going to be key for mission. So I got 48 churches. I want to network them for mission. Okay, so first, raising up biblical leaders who meet 1 Timothy 3 requirements that are multiplying. Mm-hmm. Then I want to network those churches together to do something significant. Now, this is where denominations historically are, or networks are more and more emerging as patterns of partnership. But the idea here is that we can do more together than we can do apart. We can do more together than as a team than we can do as solitary churches. So the fact that there's 48 churches that are together, well, that could mean we could, and it's in Africa, maybe we could send missionaries to other parts of Africa. Maybe we could plant churches in other places across the country, or maybe beyond. Maybe this is Portuguese-speaking Africa or Francophone Africa. Are there places we can send out missionaries as groups of churches? So because we have more we can do together resource-wise than we can do apart. So I think that can do a pattern as well. So networking for missions key. Then, this is the New Church Podcast. I'm going to go there. We can plant more churches. Mm-hmm. 48 churches, if we kind of follow the model we laid out in Viral Churches that we reflected in planting missional churches coming out, is to try to get to a movemental energy.
Yeah.
When we're talking about planting 50% the number of churches to 50% evangelistic growth to the third generation. So that means maybe next year we help those 48 churches become, we'll round it up to 50, become 75 churches with half of the people coming from new converts. Do that again. Because, 48 churches was the Vineyard in 1981. It was the Calvary Chapel in the 70s. And now we're talking thousands of churches out of those movements. And so my hope and prayer would be that these kinds of partnerships could produce. But again, I think the key is, it's not just about multiplication. It's about biblical foundation, like biblical leaders and elders, as we talked about first. And second, that networking and common partnership for mission. Third thing is the planting of churches. So I think the end result is we see a movement moving forward.
Yeah, and you're right about us not knowing enough context as to what role Paula has with that, or is she leading it or helping, or, are the churches each 100 200 people, or are they 10 people each in different tribal areas? Is it all in South Africa or different parts of Africa? So, having that context or being able to know that context is obviously does affect the way that we answer this question. But there is this white paper that we recently published for Plus members on newchurches.com. It's called Why There's No Church Planting Movement in the West. And there's actually a story that we talk about there. And Ed, so maybe you can share about that story about the island in Papua New Guinea, right?
Yeah.
And that idea, because maybe the bivocational, that model may be of an encouragement to her.
Yeah, I think is the idea here is that in the West we don't have this These kind of movements that are exploding around, because what happens is in some countries in the world, some places in the world, there's sort of a group of people, and you know, you talk about Papua New Guinea, it's a grouping, a tribal grouping, that everyone sort of does the same thing. Yeah. And so what happens is there's not like pastors aren't trained, they don't go to seminary and Bible college or whatever. Everyone collects the durian fruit, all the men collect the durian fruit and go hunting, and the women would often be connected in the village. I mean, it's kind of traditional agrarian setting. And so what happens is someone comes to Jesus, and then having come to Christ, they then begin, the most godly person, right, meets the 1 Timothy 3 qualifications. That person, I guess we call him Joe. I can't call him Joe because I don't know a Papua New Guinea name off the top of my head. So, So Joe, the most godly person, still goes out and collects the durian and goes hunting and does all those things, but now he's a pastor. And then it's easily multipliable, right? Yeah. It's multiplication is more evident there. Whereas in our pattern is, okay, go to seminary for Bible college and seminary for 7 years. So, for example, this is why Roland Allen wrote Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours. He wants to follow St. Paul's methods where he'd raise up godly leaders. We see him appointing godly men for these roles in the New Testament. He says we should do this. He talks about the case for voluntary clergy. These are all book titles. The book titles give it away, right? The spontaneous expansion of the church and the causes that hinder it. So what I want to do is I want to let loose those churches with solid theological foundation, multiplication mindset, with patterns that empower leaders, that are raising up others. And that's why when we talked about the 1 Timothy 3 qualifications, we talked about the biblical reproduction that's ultimately there. We want biblically qualified leaders that are reproducing themselves as well.
Yeah, and it really does depend, you know, what part of Africa. So are you in Nigeria, or are you in more the Muslim part of, you know, more the northern
it's
part
hard
of
to
Africa?
Know, right, exactly.
You know, so that's going to affect also the training as well as, so you know, last week actually we had a group in that we were consulting from Africa. They're trying to figure out, okay, how do we help pastors? How do we help church members grow? And the big thing is in Africa, there are more people with smartphones than with landlines, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so the big thing with that is how do you leverage technology, Paula, to train up the 1 Timothy 3 biblically qualified leaders, right? So, I mean, we have a platform called ministrygrid.com. We have over 5,000 videos on there, everywhere from discipleship to vision to church planting. We have seminary classes on there as well from Southeastern on a variety of topics. So, I mean, part of it is how can you actually leverage some of that technology to train up your leaders, right? So I think the big thing that I want to hammer or double click on is the idea of developing those leaders and making sure they're continuing to grow.
Yeah, because we don't know. I mean, if those, it could be 48 pastors in one state in, you know, wherever, South Africa. But if they're spread out all over, I mean, everything shifts. You know, if we don't know where, if she's in Africa or here and there's relationships here. So, but the great global equalizer is technology. Yeah. That enable, and again, as you mentioned, there's handheld technology, and so it just changes everything. And so what I would say is we no longer have an excuse for not training people well.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we also know there are linguistic challenges, right? I think there are 11, I mentioned South Africa, I think there are 11 official languages in South Africa. So, you know, so then it gets complex.
Yeah.
But if there are 48 churches she's in relationship with, my guess is there's some common language pattern, so we can do training through that as well. So the opportunity is great here. It's not the typical question we get here, Daniel. It's more of an international missiological question, but we love it, and we want to see more, and we're happy to answer those questions as well.
So as you're continuing to train those pastors and develop them, it's not just about orientation or initial training, but great leadership development is also about ongoing development, whether it be coaching or books that they're reading or training that they're watching. It's that ongoing. But the beauty of doing that ongoing development is it also actually doubles as a way for the pastors to and the churches to develop in community, to have those networks so that the pastors can actually be peers to one another, encourage one another, and learn from one another in that context.
Yeah, so I think, again, we're talking about building a family of churches in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. And I think building a family of churches that are on mission together is going to be key. And we've learned a lot. You know, churches have been doing this kind of stuff for a long time. A lot of churches are just sort of rediscovering it. You know, what does it look like? How does it relate? So I think ultimately you can sort of step into these things. For example, I recently met with a group of charismatic churches, and they're talking about how do they build something that you know, they created a few decades ago, they came into existence. And I got hundreds of churches around the world. And I talked about some things like, well, you want to create some common traditions. You want to have, you know, the first week of every year you fast. Yeah. You want to create maybe some common giving. You have an offering that goes to global missions. You want to create some common credentialing requirements. This is what, you know, what our doctrinal statement is, what we got to believe, what we have to be a pastor. You want to create some meetings that people actually get together and they like each other and they want to be with one another. And, you know, of course, you know, people are in denominations saying, yeah, we got all that. And sometimes it drives us crazy. Yeah, but it also sustains your organization. You think about this. How many things have come and gone in our lifetime? Big movements that were going to change everything. But you know what's still here? The Assemblies of God's still here. Mm. The Southern Baptist Convention is still here. The Evangelical Free Church is still here. So there's a inertia that comes, but you have to build into that. So what I would want is this network of 48 churches to become 200 churches in a few years, but have some sort of connection that creates a family that continues on for decades on mission together. And that's the difference between Wesley and Whitfield. And people talk about this all the time. Wesley created a structure that lived on after his death, changed millions. Whitfield, equally influential in his lifetime, didn't. And we know Whitfield from his writings, not from an organization he left behind. Now, both are valuable. You know, I'm a writer. I love writing. I don't have an organization that I created. I work in an organization. But ultimately, if you're going to see something that has the longevity from decades from now, that longevity is going to come from creating a network, working together, being on mission, focusing on something other than yourselves, being about church planning and missions for the glory of God.
Yeah, that's a good word. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please log on to iTunes, leave us a rating and review. It'll help others discover our podcast. But also, really, go to newchurches.com, check out our wealth of resources, our blog articles, our podcasts. We have, you know, anywhere upwards to 6 to 7 new pieces of content every week. So newchurches.com, and we'll check you out next time.